Because the blues is something that the people can't get rid of. Yeah. And if you ever have the blues, remember what I tell you. You'll always hear this in your heart. That's the blues. That woman named Mary, she'd go and stay out all night long. That woman named Mary, she would go and stay out all night long. Well, you know she wouldn't come back to the house until poor Lightning his blues was gone. Her name was Mary, you know, but she always see what she said. Got another man, Mary. That's why you treat me so unkind. I know you got another man, Mary. That's why you treat me so unkind. Gonna dwell with you. I can't get these blues off of my mind. They said why you do it, but I said.
All right, everybody, it's Brian Vinny Show here. September 20th, 2011, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. You know who's blue today?
Who's blue?
Alberto Del Rio. I don't know what's going on in wrestling anymore. I was very disappointed when Alberto Del Rio lost the title this weekend. We're going to talk about that. Night of Champions. We're going to talk about Smack of the Down, which I actually watched this week, believe it or not.
You actually watched that before I did.
I did.
A couple of days before.
And I'm going to talk about Raw. So, it's going to be a fun time today, everybody. We've got some shout-outs, too, as well, if I recall correctly. For those of you that are listening for free today... I got some news for you. I done got some news for you. Making a change here.
Is it another change or a change they haven't heard yet?
They haven't heard it yet.
Yeah.
I used to do a free Wrestling Observer Radio or a free Brian and Vinny Show every week. No more. Now it's changed. We're going to do a free Wrestling Observer Radio 1 week. And the next week, we're going to do a free Figure 4 Daily. And week three, we're going to do a free Brian and Vinny Show. So you're no longer getting a Brian and Vinny Show every other week. If you're a freeloader, now you're only getting one every third week. I know that's disappointing to some of you.
Frankly, it still sounds like too many to me.
God knows why. But every third week, you get a free Brian and Vinny Show. That's the bad news. The good news is every other week or every third week, you're also going to be getting a Wrestling Observer Radio or a Figure 4 Daily. Last week, the free show was Figure 4 Daily with Chris Masters. That was a great show. That was a great show for you freeloaders. So I don't want any complaining. I mean, you're a freeloader, for God's sake. If you want to hear Brian and Vinny's show twice a week, every single week, you just have to sign up. That's just the way things go. And if you want to hear a Figure 4 Daily, not every day, but at least 3 days a week, that's almost daily, you know, sign up. A lot of stuff you're not getting if you don't sign up. But that's a discussion for another day. Today, you're listening for free, so we're just going to get this show on the road. We're going to give you what you didn't pay for. And then tomorrow, we're going to be back. Got a lot of shows coming up, freeloaders. Jim Cornette is going to be on this show.
Excellent news.
On Thursday. He's a fine man. He'll be talking about the ROH debut on Sinclair, which we'll probably be reviewing on this show. So if you want to hear the reviews again, sign up. But that's enough pimping. Let's get the show on the road. Vinny, start with SmackDown.
SmackDown opened with, I believe, Mark Henry. Where the hell's my notes? God damn it. I got three files open. I don't know which one we're starting with. It was not Mark Henry. It was Edge.
At least you had the file open.
It was someone like the polar opposite of Mark Henry. It was Edge. Edge Appreciation Night in Toronto. So they brought him out. He got to do his entrance. Got a massive ovation. They advertised the main event of the show would be a cutting edge with Mark Henry and Randy Orton. And they showed a graphic of those two men as well as a graphic of Edge that may have been taken in 1998. His hair was very, very long and very, very straight. So he said everything you would expect him to say. He was happy to be back in Toronto, and as much as he missed the boys and the ring and his entrance, he missed the fans most of all, and they all cheered. Cody Rhodes interrupted, said Edge was sucking up to people. He rambled on for a while about winning the Intercontinental Belt and getting rid of Teddy Biasi, and the fans were chanting for a spear that they were not going to get. Cody gave Edge a bag and told him to take it home as a reminder of the new face of SmackDown, Cody Rhodes. Edge made fun of him for being so much more boring than his dad and said if Cody was going to talk, he was going to leave, and so he did. And Cody was screaming at him to come back, but Edge wouldn't, so Cody turned on the fans. Boy, this segment went on for a while. He said,
I was going to say, what a stellar review of that segment.
Yeah, and then none of them were better than him, and one of the fans was Teddy Biasi wearing a paper bag in disguise. He attacked Cody. He jumped the rail and laid waste to him, including an enormous Cobra Clutch slam. And he grabbed a bag and went to hit the ring, but Cody bailed. And then Michael Cole said these words. It's pretty clear that DiBiase had every intention of putting a bag over Cody Rhodes' head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's everything wrong with this gimmick right there. We cannot take that seriously as a threat. I mean, we could it anyway. But when there are dozens of fans also putting bags in their heads willingly for fun, a poor threat.
I thought this attack by DiBiase was great. Then I saw the pay-per-view. A poor payoff.
Yeah, that is true.
All that work on Ted DiBiase here, and he ran out and he had a bag on his head and he did a shoot headbutt just like Mayweather did on Saturday. And he beats the crap out of Cody and he sends him packing and threatens to put a bag on his head. Did we see a single bag on the pay-per-view on Sunday get on anybody's head except for the fans? No! And DiBiase was made to look a fool.
That's the more pressing issue. But we'll get to the pay-per-view. Fake Sin Cara versus Daniel Bryan. Bryan had some very flagrant crowd sweetening for his entrance. They were having a fun match when Booker T was saying really, really stupid stuff. Most notably telling us to look at the expression on the face of Sin Cara. A man in a full mask. So Sin Cara eventually cut him off and hung him in the Tree of Woe and put the boots to him, and the ref counted to five. Then he called for the DQ. And I was actually fine with this finish. I thought it was a great finish because the whole idea is to show that this Sin Cara is a vicious, evil man, and also it helps to not have Daniel Bryan lose. I thought this was a fine DQ. So Sin Cara continued to attack, and then his own music and pyro went off, and the real Sin Cara returned. He hit the ring, they had a face-off. The announcers were like, I can't tell the difference, they look the same. Fake Sin Cara is a good 4 inches and 30 pounds bigger.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So they took turns appealing to the fans for applause. The announcers were like, we can't tell which is which. Who is the real one? Meanwhile, the fans were blatantly cheering for the real one and blatantly booing the fake one. They figured it out. And also, when you see them side by side, it's so much clearer or so clear how much more charisma the real Sin Cara has. So they appealed for cheers for a while, and the fake Sin Cara bailed. And they cut to the announcers, and Booker T said he could tell which Sin Cara was real because of, quote, a little black mark on his boot.
Yeah, he was explaining that there had been a little black mark on one of the boots that he'd been noticing for the past couple of weeks. And they cut to Michael Cole, and as much of an idiot as Michael Cole is, the look on his face is Booker is trying to explain how he told these two men apart. He was gobsmacked. And then he started to make fun of Booker T, and Booker T just starts laughing.
Yes.
And he laughed and he laughed, and apparently someone said something in his headsets, and he laughed even harder. He could not contain his mirth. He was so proud of what he had said, and it was great. I like Booker T.
I saw more as being embarrassed by what he had said.
No, he laughed harder each time, like, oh my God, that was great. Oh my God, it gets better.
Did you hear what I said? A little black mark on his boot. Yeah. Yes, and Michael Cole was also giggling, so yeah, that was fun. Zack Ryder and Teddy Long had a meeting. Teddy said that if Henry and Orton engaged in any physicality during the Cutting Edge, then the match Sunday was off. He wanted Zack to relay that message to the wrestlers involved, and Zack was unhappy, but he went to do it. And then Oksana came in, and she wanted to give Teddy a massage. This led to Teddy bending over while Oksana stood behind him massaging his back, and Teddy moaned. This is a very, very non-PG attempt at comedy there. A mysterious woman walked in, and there was jokes about how she had caught them doing something. It took me several seconds to realize this was Trish Stratus. I am still not used to her with brown hair.
Perhaps nobody in the world notices except me, except this was a direct takeoff of the angle where Hunter and Trish were in Hunter's room, and she bent over, and he was behind her.
That's right.
And Stephanie walked in.
That was much better than this.
That was a whole... I mean, this was a direct playoff of that, and not a single person in the world except me remembered it.
It was 10 years ago.
I know, but I got a terrible memory. I remembered it.
Well, that's because that one was awesome.
I got to talk more about Booker T. Booker T is great, everybody. I know some of you are listening to this right now, and are just like steam is coming out of your ears, and you don't know what's wrong with me, but listen. Wrestling is supposed to be fun. I don't know how many times I've given this speech. Wrestling is supposed to be fun. And Booker T is one man in a three-man booth. If your commentators are so shitty that you have to rely on Booker T to be good, that's your problem, not mine. Booker T is goofy. He's wacky. He says funny things like he saw a mark on Sin Cara's boot. That's how he's telling them apart. You saw a mark on his boot? You notice that? You know what I mean? It's preposterous. And he knew it. Everybody knew it. He could see the expression on Sin Cara's face. Of course he couldn't. It's funny. He's a funny guy. He laughs at his own jokes. He doesn't take himself too seriously. Fine. It's okay to have a little bit of comedy. You know, if Michael Cole was actually good and Josh Matthews wasn't afraid to say anything, and you had two great commentators, and then the guy who was just funny, who said goofy, wacky things, it would be great. I know Booker T's not really all that good at his job, but he entertains me. He makes me laugh. He's a funny guy on the show. And it's not Booker T's fault that Michael Cole and Josh Matthews, one of them sucks and one of them's had the life sucked out of them. That's not his fault. So I don't want to hear people yelling about how terrible Booker T is and how upset they are. It's okay for Booker T to be Booker T. It's not okay for the other two to also suck. Those are the two that you should be upset about, not Booker T. That's my speech.
Beth squashed AJ. She was military pressing her for reps and then dropped her belly first in front of her. And AJ, who is, of course, very, very green, flinched and tried to put her leg down to break her fall. And that's actually a great way to hurt yourself. So thankfully she did not. But that's what happens when you put someone in the ring before they're ready. And Beth destroyed her and went with a bitch clamp. And then cut a promo saying she would win on Sunday. This was, of course, a lie.
Do you hate Booker T?
Hate's too strong. But on this on this show, I found myself cheering for Cole whenever they were arguing. Think about that.
Cheering for Cole.
I thought Cole was right. I thought the remark about the little black mark on his boot was a good one. There's something else. The expression on Sin Cara's face. But yeah, I was not a fan of Booker T on this show.
Like I said, Booker T would not be infuriating if you had like Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler doing commentary. And then the guy there that's funny.
Well, I think the key word there is funny because I don't think he is.
I think he's funny. He's not like a comedian, but he's so wacky.
I know.
And he says such goofy things that I'm entertained by it.
I have seen Booker T be awesome and funny on commentary, and he's not doing it in his current SmackDown persona, I guess, for lack of a better word. I thought he was all funny when he was doing TNA commentary, not so much the weird fake accent stuff, but he was just being the super intense, hyper, mile-a-minute talking play-by-play guy. I thought that was funny.
That was too much for me.
Hmm.
That was over the top.
Yes.
I didn't like that.
Yes, it was.
But again, in TNA, you have Mike Tenay and Taz, and Taz is just completely given up.
Yeah.
And Tenay's given the most ridiculous bullshit to read. That Mike Tenay, a man with a great memory, who knows everything about wrestling, constantly has to look at his notes and read them.
Yes.
So again, you got three shitty commentators. You know, it's just like when you watch Strikeforce, you know. Frank Shamrock's role is now to be, I guess, a big dumb musclehead. That's what I figured. But as long as you've got, like, you know, Mauro Ranallo knows his stuff, and, you know, he's a little bit, he's a little wacky, and some people can't stand Mauro Ranallo, and sometimes a little bit over the top, but, you know, he knows his stuff, and Pat Miletich is awesome. So it's okay to have Frank Shamrock there being just a goofball. But if you had two commentators that totally sucked, and then you threw Frank Shamrock in there, not even knowing if knees to the body of a downed opponent are legal, then it would be a big problem. That's my opinion.
We had a cool Sheamus hype video. Had a wacky skit with Edge and Trish and Christian. Edge and Trish were hanging out, chatting about yoga. Christian appeared, said Trish was there to sell her stuff and called her selfish. Then he tried to suck up to Edge and make nice. Talked about the confrontation they had at SummerSlam. Christian said basically he said it was no big deal. Edge was speaking his mind and they were still buds, and he gave him a big hug. Then he asked Edge to go to Teddy Long and try to get him one more title match. And Edge refused, so Christian snapped and talked about how he'd been there for Edge when Edge needed him. Edge was about to call him a little bitch when Christian stormed off. And then Zach ran up, told Edge to tell Henry Norton about the no contact rule, and then ran off. Trish called Zach the internet champion, and that was that.
Was that the internet champion?
That's what she said.
Yeah.
It was a goofy, pointless segment. Wade Barrett and Christian versus Sheamus and Justin Gabriel. Sheamus cut a promo, as he does every week, a wacky promo before the match, and just like every week, he must say the word arse. And he recited a poem. I couldn't find axe, I couldn't find smasher, so instead of demolition, I got the 450 splasher.
Yes.
That's what he said.
Demolition.
Which, when I thought about it, if you're going to bring back demolition, you could do a lot worse than to put Sheamus in that gear. So they cut Gabriel off immediately. Like, Sheamus didn't even wrestle in this match until he got the hot tag. Worked Gabriel over for a while, teased the hot tag for a bit. Sheamus got the hot tag, ran wild. He clotheslined Christian over the ropes. He slipped out of wasteland and then dropped Wade with a brogue kick, basically beating two men by himself. And then he just tagged Justin back in, so the 450 splasher could hit his 450 splash and win. But basically, Sheamus beat up two men and beat him here.
Well,
good. Yeah, that's not a complaint.
Let's push someone.
That's high praise. Christian teased a sneak attack afterwards, but Sheamus saw him coming and Christian ran away. This was a great segment with a fun, well-booked match and a finish that left you still wanting to see Sheamus versus Christian. This is how pro wrestling is done. How pro wrestling is not done. Kali versus Heath Slater. They went about a minute. Jinder Mahal came down with a microphone screaming in Jinderese. He attacked Kali for a DQ. Heels beat him up. Kali teased a tree slam. Jinder bailed, so poor Heath Slater had to take the tree slam, and that was that. And I guess, technically, this was done well, but there's nothing they can do that would make me want to see that match.
This is so sad to watch the great Kali, because he's going to be in a wheelchair in like 2 years. I mean, I can only imagine what his legs look like, but he is completely unstable just walking, and he's got to do these matches, and it's just not going to end well.
No.
And it's very sad.
It sucks. And I mentioned this when they were here in Tacoma. Just watching him walk around, you cringe. He's in bad shape. Truth versus Evan Bourne. Truth came out with Miz in the new best entrance of all time. I'm sure by now you've all seen it. They played Truth's old music. Miz tells us it's the remix. Truth does a rap, only instead of saying, "What's up?" he says, "You suck." Miz tries to rap along with the "you suck" part, but he is so horrible and so off the beat that it actually throws Truth off his game.
Yes.
They're doing this, the show, and they cut to the ring, and Kofi Kingston is standing there gobsmacked. His eyes are open. His mouth is agape. His shoulders are slouched. He just cannot comprehend what he's witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
This was awesome.
And Miz is so horrendously bad, and his character thinks he's great.
Yes, he is.
That makes it better.
He is the very definition of a douchebag.
Yes.
Someone who is very low on the totem pole, who thinks they are very high. And
somehow they... This is what's amazing about this gimmick. Somehow they get away with it. You know? Like, Truth and Miz, when they do their stupid comedy, and Truth is acting like a dumbass, it's comedy, and it's like mid-card geek comedy. But for some reason, this entrance, I don't know why. Maybe it's just because they so strongly believe in themselves and how good they are doing this horrible rap, that somehow it works. I still haven't quite figured out why. This is like the kind of... This is like good comedy. Mm-hmm. Where it's like you laugh at these two guys, but like, you know, they're not... I don't know. It's like...
I think someone...
Miz has like no... You know, he has no rhythm.
No.
I think the key is that
zero.
Like... You know, what does having no rhythm have to do with whether or not you're a good wrestler? Nothing. You know, he's got no rhythm... But, it doesn't matter. He goes out there, he does his thing, he thinks he's great at it, and then he goes in the ring and his job is to beat people's ass.
It's
you're
kind
not
of
exposing
like...
them as clowns or fools. You know, he's just a guy that's no good at something, but it don't matter. He's no good at something that doesn't matter in wrestling.
Right. It's kind of the same thing, Jarrett's getting TNA where he wanted to be proclaimed the King of Mexico. He came off looking silly... And pretentious, but still very, very dangerous.
Sure.
It's kind of the same thing here. Miz comes out and he's not weak. He's just someone who's not nearly as cool as he thinks he is. Which, if you think about it, is the very definition of a heel.
Yes.
So, and as someone pointed out on the board, the other big key is they seem to be having so much fun with it. My favorite part about it, actually, it's subtle, because Miz will rap along and everything, but... Otherwise, he will just stand there, and he will be there in a suit as Truth is there in his street gear. And, like, every sixth beat, Miz will dance for exactly one move. Just do one head bob or one shoulder shimmy, and then go back to standing still. At just random points. It's fabulous. So then Miz and Kofi came out to do commentary. I was convinced within about 7 seconds that Miz and Kofi doing commentary would be a vast improvement over this actual crew of commentators they have. They only wrestled about a minute. Truth pinned Evan with his finisher, so it set up the tag match of the pay-per-view. Nothing of a match, but the entrance was great, and it was, you know, what you had to do. Had a hype video of Henry destroying Orton. Then it was time for the cutting edge. Edge came out and said they were in Toronto, where he had seen Ultimate Warrior pin Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania, where he had won his first title. He knew how important titles were. He brought out Henry and Orton. His first question was for Orton. He said, "Do you think you can beat Henry this Sunday?"
Love these pressing questions.
Stupid question. Stupid question. So Orton cut a promo. It was pretty dry. He simply said that he didn't... He rambled on for a while and said he didn't think he could beat Henry. He knew we could beat Henry. So Edge said, as big and devastating as Mark Henry was, he had never won the world title, never won the WWE title. And he said, maybe you're just not good enough to get to that level. And then my favorite wrestler took the mic. And Henry talked, and he said the only reason he was going to let Edge walk away was because he was right. He said for 15 years he had seen men smaller and weaker than him become world champion. He'd seen Orton win the world title over and over again. He said he had spent that time spending too much time smiling and showing personality. Said he was done smiling. He was done showing personality. He was here to destroy and take what Orton had. 15 years, he said, he'd come out and show what he could do, and it didn't work. 15 years. And come Sunday, he said he'd be world champion. He said Orton cut him off and said that on Sunday the match would be the same as the rest of Henry's career. He'd be the world's strongest failure. At this point, Edge reminded them that there was no contact allowed during the cutting edge. Then he said, the cutting edge is over. So they started trading punches. Teddy Long came out with a squad of geeks to separate them. Five guys piled on top of Mark Henry, who did the greatest roar spot of all time. I have seen the roar spot done quite often, usually in battle royals. You take a giant man, you send four or five or six smaller men on top of him, and they all overwhelm him and push him to the ground, and then he... roars, and he powers up and raises his arms, and bodies go flying. And these five men threw themselves to the sky to get Mark Henry over. The Usos in particular. Between this and the Battle Royal segment where he was killing them on the floor, he owes them a big favor. They have done a lot to make him look scary. So, they...
There's a possibility he just went, ah, and threw his arms, and they actually flew high in the air.
That's not impossible. That's not impossible either. He is terrifying. They, you know the drill. They would throw some punches, they would get separated, then they'd break free, repeat. And finally, Orton broke free, and he runs across the ring and runs right into a World's Strongest Slam. So Henry starts working him over. All the other geeks by now have been beaten up, so he starts tossing him out of the ring. He picked up Zack Ryder like a child. He just casually pressed him over his head, launched him over the floor, gave Trent Beretta a big beel over the ropes, and poor Trent smashed kidney first into the apron. That sucked. And the show ended with Henry standing over Orton's broken body, holding the World Championship belt above his head. A great angle to top off a really good show.
I'd have been so fucking sad right now if we'd watched that great angle and then Mark Henry lost.
Oh, amen.
My God, the promo you'd hear on this show. But he won. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. But first, let's play a quick song. Some comedy relief here on this program. Theme of Gracie. Gracie. No one should terrify their neighborhood. Gracie just won't be undone, playing pranks on everyone. What was that?
Something just fell.
I hope that wasn't a cat falling off the railing. The gang
will reign supreme. Cat invasion. No, they're coming into the studio.
Great song. The only problem with that song is that Gracie's the calm one. Gracie is not I can't remember the lyrics of the song. It's Gracie going something,
terrorizing the neighborhood.
Gracie, what's the first line?
No one should
I see no one should terrorize the neighborhood. Yeah, that's Snorky. Gracie, just these two cats. I've never seen a cat like Snork. I know I've told many cat stories here. Vinny could probably confirm this. Have you ever seen a cat like Snork?
Is that the one that plays tag with you?
The one that plays tag?
The one that's really a dog in a cat's body?
Yeah. Never seen a cat like this.
No, it's ridiculous.
And the other cat, little Gracie, is just like, I mean, she's the polar opposite. She just...
Yeah, she's a cat.
She's a cat. She sleeps all day, and she just hangs out. And she spends a lot of the day when she's not sleeping just sitting there and watching her sister go batshit crazy. I mean, Stork is running. She's jumping. We went to the pet store the other day and they had a, what the hell do they call it? Like a fun tunnel or something like that. It's like a...
a what now?
A fun tunnel. It's a tunnel. It's about 6 feet long and about, I don't know, foot in circumference. And it's got like three portals in it. And cats, like, they like crinkly sounds. You know, if I get a piece of paper and I start crinkling it up, Snork is just like eyeing me like I'm a giant tuna. You know, she hears that sound and she just, and you throw the paper, she just goes nuts. But there's the inside of the tube is like all crinkly. So she gets in the tube, and the crinkly noise just drives her nuts. Plus, they sprayed catnip on the inside of it, which makes the whole thing even worse. And she just goes crazy in this tube. She runs back and forth. She goes out the portal. She goes in the portal. I put things in the tube. She goes nuts. I spin the tube in a circle when she's in it so she doesn't know which way is up. Goes ass over tea kettle. And meanwhile, Gracie's just sitting on the chair just looking at her sister. Like, Jesus Christ, look at this fucking cat. So anyway, I love my cats. All right, let's start with Night of Champions.
Night of Champions was, thank God for Mark Henry, is all I can say. Air Boom versus Awesome Truth was the opener. Miz and Kofi, the first thing they did was the Floyd Mayweather spot from the night before with the headbutt followed by the cross, the right cross to the face.
Have there ever been worse names, by the way, than Air Boom and
Awesome Truth.
Awesome Truth.
Compare. I don't even care about Awesome Truth. It's how bad Air Boom is. In 1988, if you told me there would be a team named Awesome Truth, I may have said that name sucks. But compared to Air Boom.
But let's be fair. If it were not for Air Boom, Awesome Truth is horrible. What does that even mean?
Well, one guy's tagline is, I'm awesome. The other guy's name is Truth. That's what it means.
But the idea is you put these names together and you've got a tag team name that maybe has another meaning. Instead, it just says Awesome Truth. Why not just call them The Miz and Truth?
I don't know. So the best spot of this entire match was they had the heat on Evan.
What if they called him Awesome R and they both dressed as pirates?
It's a great idea, Brian.
R-Truth?
Yes, I understand.
Awesome R.
So Evan's best spot was rolling through a full Nelson, diving across the ring, and in one motion he made the hot tag and rolled through the ropes. That was fantastic. So Kofi came in, they cut him off, and then things got stupid. Evan started coming in illegally. Ref didn't see it. Then Miz cut him off anyway. Then Miz had him pinned, and Kofi broke it up. And then Truth made a legal tag, but the ref didn't see it. So what happened here was that the heels were getting completely butt-fucked by the referee. Over and over and over again.
Oh, the drops it looked. Oh,
and
no.
Despite this, the babyfaces, despite having the referee doing everything he could to help them win, they were still losing this match. They came off looking like geeks here. So finally, Miz could take no more. He shoved the ref down, and they beat him up. And this was an angle that would have been fine on Raw, but this is a pay-per-view match. So that sucked.
How about Muth?
Miz and Truth.
Sure. Muth. No.
You realize that's actually Lance Storm's student who's going to be in the Wrestling Revolution project, Ben Muth.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
He could be the third part of the team.
He could be.
Miz and Truth were bickering their way down the hallway. Stryker tried to interview them, warned them about fines or suspensions. They said they didn't care what Hunter thought, he may get fired anyway. Then Stryker said, "It seems that Truth and Miz are unrepentant."
Yeah.
He actually said that. A human being tried to say this and sound natural. We had Ted DiBiase versus Cody Rhodes. This match had zero heat.
Remember when they were a tag team together?
DiBiase and Rhodes?
Bag money.
Money bags!
Money bags!
That's much better.
God damn it. That's actually, no one would ever think of that.
No. So it was a good match that had zero heat. Cody applied a goofy hold that I was looking at his hold, trying to figure out what it would do.
Nothing.
He had like his leg over one arm, and the other arm was bent the way it was supposed to go. The announcers were totally bored. They were entertaining themselves, talking about whether or not Booker should wear a bag. And at one point, DiBiase went for the mask, the plastic protective mask that Cody wears. He tore it off, which was the first cheers of the entire match. And then Cody rolled him up a one 4 seconds later. DiBiase came off like a complete goof.
A complete fool.
Actually a bigger loser than Kofi and Evan did in their match.
Money bags may be the funniest thing you've ever said on this show.
Thank you.
Or at least the most clever.
Sure.
That actually makes me want to have them team up.
Well, get to work on it.
Hmm.
We had a commercial where Rey Mysterio played laser tag. I enjoyed this way too much. Christian came out to cut a promo here in this pay-per-view. He said, Hunter and Teddy were both too selfish to do the right thing. He begged for one more match. Specifically, he said he wanted it as soon as the Randy Orton-Mark Henry match was over tonight. They were in Buffalo. He buried them for never winning the Super Bowl, but he had won the Super Bowl twice, he said. Should have also mentioned the Sabres, who had never won a Stanley Cup, or at least they lost the last time they were in there. He tried to get a chant of one more match going, and I'm sure their idea was, we'll have the heel trying to get this chant and everyone would boo. The crowd unanimously agreed with him. This crowd wanted him to get his one more match. Kristen was not even trying not to laugh. So, Sheamus came out with some comedy. He referenced his Uncle Fargus's lucky green testicle. I'm not making this up. That's what he said. We're paying for this, by the way. So
this is what they think is funny.
Yeah. So Sheamus said that if he helped Christian get one more match, Christian had to give him the first title shot. Christian agreed. So Sheamus led some more chants and then kicked Christian in the head. And they left. And at the end of the segment, both guys were exactly where they had been going into the segment. It accomplished nothing. It was not funny. We paid to see this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really lousy pay-per-view for the most part, especially the first half. Morrison versus Swagger versus Alex Riley versus Dolph Ziggler. John Morrison's pants, by his own standards, were ungodly gaudy. So they're doing this match, and I began to fear for someone's life. First, Morrison got hung in the Tree of Woe, and as he was going backwards, upside down, he banged his own head on the mat. Then Riley tried to do like a pop-up superplex, and almost slipped and fell onto Morrison. So then Riley ends up laying down in the middle of the ring. Swagger runs across the ropes for his own pop-up superplex, and he almost throws Dolph Ziggler onto Riley. Just insanity and clumsiness and everyone being in each other's way in a clusterfuck. Morrison ran wild. Everyone loved him. They just did a spot where Ziggler and Swagger each got their submission holds on at the same time. Riley ended up pushing them together and hit a DDT that actually had everyone believing he was going to win. And then finally, Swagger hit the Dr. Bomb on Morrison and Ziggler stole the pin.
You're missing the important key there. Morrison tried his big springboard kick, and he just missed. Like a geek. And then Swagger Dr. Bombed him, and Ziggler stole the pin. So that's the second babyface on this show who was made to look like a complete tool.
I would argue the fourth, counting Kofi and Evan. Got a Mark Henry promo.
At least they won.
By DQ.
Still a win.
They weren't pinned. Mark Henry promo. He basically said that he didn't have much to say here. He demanded that Josh come out and interview him after he won. So Stryker interviewed Vicky. She was happy Dolph Ziggler won. And she said after Hunter got fired, she knew she would make a great COO. She kissed Stryker and then she turned to the camera and I don't know who she was talking to, but she gave the universal signal for call me. I laughed.
She was talking to Stryker.
I guess so. And then we got Mark Henry versus Randy Orton. As you all know, I've been a huge fan of Mark Henry over the past, I don't know, 3-4 months. I will not lie. This match, by and large, was not particularly good. It was acceptable. He had Orton kicking out of a big splash. Later, he kicked out of the World's Strongest Slam. He did a comeback. And there's a point here where he came out of the corner and went to hit the ropes to hit a move. And rather than turn and face the ropes, he went backwards three quarters of the way across the ring to hit them. I want a gif of this. Just him running backwards to hit the ropes and then just running forwards again. Just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So Orton managed to hit his elevated DDT on the monster, but Henry got the ropes. And Henry cut him off and he worked him over for a while and he beat him up and beat him up and beat him up and Orton could barely stand, and Henry was doing fine. Orton tried one more desperation RKO. Henry shoved him off. He hit the World's Strongest Slam. He made the cover. Everyone counted along. 1, 2, 3. Everyone in the building cheered. Everyone in Craig's living room cheered.
4 grown men.
Yeah.
At the exact same time went, yay!
Hey! We were all so damn happy. And it was a mix of joy and bewilderment. And just the perfection of how this finish came about.
That was joy for us. It was befuddlement for some fans. It was joy for other fans.
To be shock.
This did not get no reaction.
Oh, hell no.
Whether you were happy or sad, this got a reaction in the building.
Yeah.
And it was great.
This was awesome. And the best thing about it was there is a formula for WWE World Title matches, especially on pay-per-view, where you go back and forth, you kick out of each other's finishers, and at the very end, one guy has just enough left to hit one more big move, and he makes the cover, and then they are both down, and the whoever the winner is, he has escaped by the skin of his teeth. In this match, everyone, by the end, there was no doubt. Mark Henry was the better man than Randy Orton.
Yes.
Mark Henry was several levels above Randy Orton. Randy Orton was not in Mark Henry's league, and it's been a long goddamn time since they had someone win their first world title like this. I can't even remember. when they had someone who had a new champion who had just left the prior champion devastated and helpless and broken. This was the match of the year.
So, did you actually expect this match to be any better than it was?
I don't know. It was not terrible. It was not particularly good.
But I mean, going in, were you shocked? I expected it to be worse, to be honest with you. I mean, I like Mark Henry and all.
Yeah.
But I like Mark Henry because he's a great big monster who cuts awesome promos, and he beats up dudes in angles.
I have seen Mark Henry have better matches than this, I will say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, with Kurt Angle.
Well, I was... Actually, no, that sucked.
Oh, that's true. That one did suck.
Yeah.
You're right. That's right.
Yeah, he had a good match earlier this year with somebody. I forget who it was. Oh, it was the one with Kane.
I just remember.
The one he went back
I
and watched
remember.
Again. Yeah. I didn't have super high hopes for this. I thought it may have been a little better than it was. So the finish was great, though, and it was a fantastic moment. So Josh, a man of his word.
See, I remember that Kurt Angle match because at the time, I remember they had a match, and that's right, it was no good. And the big scandal was that there were individuals that when that match was no good concluded that it was Kurt Angle that sucked.
Tremendous.
Yeah,
that's
seriously.
Tremendous.
I'm not making that up. I very passionately believe that it was Kurt Angle that sucked because they believe that Mark Henry was actually like a great worker. And so when he had a bad match with Kurt Angle, it must have been Kurt's fault. That's what they believe.
I don't know what sources you were getting this feedback from, but you need to cut them off out of your life. I realize that was 10 years ago.
Well.
But, I don't know if you're listening to that or reading it or hearing it from your friends, but lose those friends.
You don't hear much about him anymore.
No, I suppose you don't. So, Josh was there to, a man of his word, he hit the ring to interview Mark Henry. And Mark Henry turned to these people who were all standing and cheering him. And he is defiant. And he shouted to them not to cheer because they didn't believe in him either. Called them y'all haters. Welcomed them to the Hall of Pain. Said, this is my moment. I'm not sharing this with none of you. Y'all don't deserve this. I ain't running from nobody and I ain't ever losing. And this was not actually the match of the year, but goddamn, this is a 5-star promo. The era of Mark Henry arrived right here.
Yeah.
This was great.
You know, I said some things about Mark Henry in the ring. He hasn't had some great matches. And I gave this a 1.5 stars. Really wasn't all that great a match. It was fine.
That's probably about right.
But I'm so happy Mark Henry won the title.
Oh, God, yes.
Goddamn, Mark Henry deserves this title. You can't say that about a lot of people that aren't, like, people that actually, you know, big stars that draw tons of money. Mark Henry's been in this company since 1996. They gave him a huge contract at the time coming out of the Olympics. They thought he was going to be a big star. And it didn't really click.
No.
And so they saddled him with the most bullshit gimmicks, most likely in an effort to get him to quit. Because they'd signed him to this 10-year, I forget what it was, 10 years and...
I think it was 10 years, a million a year.
I thought it was like 10 years, 10 million.
I read that in your newsletter, so...
Whatever it was. It was a very lucrative deal, and they wanted him out of there, and he wouldn't quit. He would not quit. And thing was, Mark Henry was like a huge WWF fan as a kid. You know, growing up, he loved pro wrestling. He loved pro wrestling. And apparently, like, when he got out of the Olympics... I think he went on Oprah, and she was asking about something, and he said something to the effect of, well, one thing's for sure, I'm always home on Monday night to watch wrestling. And somebody heard it, and Vince McMahon ended up calling Mark Henry and said, you want to give this a shot? And it was like a dream come true for him. And they put this poor fucker through hell for many years, doing a lot of bullshitty things, knocking up... remember that deal with Mae Young? She gave birth to a hand and all this other bullshit. All this other stuff. Remember the hermaphrodite or whatever it was?
Isn't that one point where he said he banged his sister?
Something like that. And anyway, the point was this guy never gave up.
Nope.
And he never quit. And, you know, after all these years, he deserved this title. You know?
He deserves a chance to be the top guy.
He's a good monster. You know, as far as big guys go in this business, you know, there have been a lot of guys that have burned out and have been no good. But goddamn, he just kept going. He never gave up. He never quit. He always wanted this. And I'm so happy he got it. So good for you, Mark Henry.
And good for us that he's on top.
That's right.
Good for wrestling.
I don't give a shit if his matches aren't great. I love Mark Henry. And I'm glad he's the champion of the world.
Mm-hmm. Well said. The only thing that's missing here, they needed to have Christian either... come running out, or just do it backstage, but they need Christian to say, never mind. No more matches. I don't want to wrestle that big, scary man.
Mm-hmm.
We had Alberto Del Rio and Rodriguez were bitching to Laurinaitis about, I don't even know. He said he put the heat on Hunter. It was his call.
What they were bitching about was they'd have a match on Raw, that tag match with Bret Hart. And Laurinaitis claimed that I didn't book it. Even though if you go back and watch Raw last week, he did book it.
That is true.
In person. That right there true, on actually, television. Yes.
So he wished Del Rio luck. And he turned off camera and said, good luck to you too. And it was CM Punk. And he said, good luck. Like, best of luck in your future endeavors. He walked off. And John Laurinaitis ominously sent a text. Beth Phoenix versus Kelly. Beth got a giant hometown reaction in Buffalo. She appeared to be moved by this, and that's who wouldn't be? The crowd was actually chanting, Kelly sucks. Some very terrible jokes about Kelly's personal life went through my head right there. Even Natalya, Beth is just destroying Kelly in the ring, just toying with her, to the point where even Natalya got into a brawl on the floor, and Beth stopped destroying Kelly to go outside and break up the fight and save her partner, and then return to beat up Kelly some more. That was dominance. And then Kelly actually took a top rope suplex, which I don't recommend. And then she won with a roll up.
So pissed off when that happened.
And by she, I mean Kelly.
God damn it. It's Beth's hometown. I said this on Sunday night. You know, sometimes the guy's in his hometown, and he's fighting for the world title. And it's just like, it's not the time. You know, Willie Regal made a comeback right now, and you took William Regal to Blackpool. The UK, and he had a match with, you know, John Cena for the title, or if Alberto Del Rio was a champion, Alberto Del Rio. You know, it's his hometown, he's fighting for the title, but you know what? It's not the right time to put the title on William Regal. But in this instance here, I mean, name me one good reason why Kelly needed the title for another month.
Are you kidding? I can't think of a one.
Exactly. Beth Phoenix is here, like, in her hometown.
Even as a joke, I can't think of one.
She's super over. It's time. Everybody wants to see her win the belt, and they beat her. Right there in her hometown again. And the fans were so fucking... And don't even tell me. Don't even tell me that they could not have called an audible. Because they do it all the time. They call audibles all the time. But they didn't do it here. Nope. These fans were so into Beth, and they just went along with it. Kelly goes over. Cradle. Pissed me off.
And by the way, you're talking about being the right time to do things. They may have, to use William Regal as an example, perhaps they have plans for the world title that it would be a bad idea to put the belt on Regal because they got something else they want to do. This is the Divas belt. It doesn't matter who holds it. If Beth wins it and has a big party and people care about the goddamn thing, it'd be the first time in years that happened. Nope. It's just another stupid women's belt. Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena. Del Rio didn't come out in his car. He stormed to the ring, pissed off, and then it turned out Cena had stolen his keys. Cut promos about stolen cars and ring announcing. Clearly, they had some time to kill. So they're doing this match. Ricardo got ejected. It was abundantly clear and not a surprise that Del Rio had a much better headlock than Cena. And so the crowd is, you know, it's the usual bit where they're all the guys are booing Cena, all the kids like him. And then, of course, he does the You Can't See Me spot, and for 5 seconds, everyone loves him. And Cena got a kick out of a senton backsplash. Alberto went for the armbar, and Cena turned into the Quentin Jackson powerbomb spot. This did not get nearly the reaction Quentin Jackson got, nor did it win the match. And then Cena hit the FU. Rodriguez came back out. Cena fought him off, then put Alberto in the STF, and then Del Rio quit. He tapped out.
I was so pissed off. I was infuriated at this. This was like... Why... Yes, you got a 3 for Raw this week. Whoop-de-fucking-do. You got a 3.0 this week for one show. Way to go. Now, you spent all that time building up Alberto Del Rio. For over 8 months, you put off him getting the title. You put it off, you put it off, you put it off. You finally pulled the trigger on it. And then a month later, you take it off of him and you put it back on John Cena. How many fans came back briefly when CM Punk did that promo? How many of your friends went, oh my God, did you hear that CM Punk promo? How many, and this happens all the time, how many of those fans decided, I'm going to give them another chance? Because fans do that all the time. Fans are gluttons for punishment. Wrestling fans, you just cannot take the wrestling fan out of a wrestling fan. They may give up. They may walk away. They may turn to MMA. So there's that part of them that's like, you know, really was fun back in the day when I was a wrestling fan, back when I loved wrestling. They're always willing to come back and give it another try. And they came back and they gave it a try, and what happened? WWE killed off CM Punk, and then they just now put the title back on fucking John Cena.
Yeah.
How many of those people that came back in July you think are still around?
None.
The answer is zero. I would bet not a single person who came back after that CM Punk promo, not a single one is still watching. Why? Because they went back to the same shit that ran those people off in the first place. John Cena, champion for the 10th time. Why? Because Raw did a bad rating, and they had to put the title back on him. They'll probably give the title back to Del Rio at Hell in the Cell, would be my guess. At which point, who gives a fuck then?
I don't know.
Another, wow, you switch the title again. Now, hopefully, you get another rating the next day. I mean, how? I cannot understand. Vince McMahon has been in this business for so fucking long. He's done this for so long. He doesn't understand that you got 1-3. You got 1 3.0 rating. Okay, that's not turning around the business. That's not making any sort of permanent change. But what you did to get that 3 is doing further damage to your product. How can he not understand this? I just don't get it. He's not an idiot like Vince Russo. He's not an idiot like Dixie Carter. I mean, these people are certified idiots. He has had a lot of success.
He's the most successful promoter.
He is the most successful promoter of all time. But something's happened, and I don't know.
When this is over...
It's funny, is it Raw? He was like... People were just had a hell of a time at Raw because Vince was just, he was going nuts backstage. He was all pissed off. He hated how this pay-per-view went down. He was all angry and pissed off. It's your own fucking fault, goof. If you didn't change your mind every fucking day and do all this stupid shit and, oh my God, we got to put the title back on Cena. I'm just very upset.
When this is over, I was trying to think of how we should rate this match, and just based on the finish, I don't know how to rate this anymore. I am so far removed from whatever audience they're trying to appeal to that I don't know if this is good or bad. I am not the person to judge this anymore. I don't understand why they're doing it or what or where it's going, and I don't care. So yes, this was depressing. And then the main event on Night of Champions was a non-title match. CM Punk versus Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Why is the Raw GM podium still set up?
I don't know. Nobody knows. They can't decide what they're doing.
No.
They actually took it down for weeks, and then they put it back up.
So they brawled all over the building. They went into the crowd. They went up behind the video wall. Punk threw duffel bags at him. And they went back to ringside. And Punk set him up on a table and hit the scariest, most out-of-control top rope elbow through a table ever. And with the obvious exception of the Great Khali, I think it's fair to say CM Punk may be he's one of the worst athletes in the company, right? Is that fair?
CM Punk?
Yeah.
I'm afraid so.
Especially, and if you disagree with me, watch this elbow again. The way he waved his arms like a lunatic in midair, like he was trying to fly, yeah, this could have gone a lot worse. The side view especially was hysterical. So they got back in the ring, and suddenly Awesome Truth come out. And they attack both men, and they beat them up, and they lay Hunter down, and they put Punk on top, which begs the question of why they attacked Punk. They could have just left him fresh and put him on top. But anyway, the ref counts one, the ref counts two, and Hunter kicks out. And so I'm thinking, okay, just keep killing Hunter. There's two of you. He's already down. Eventually you'll kill him. Nope. They decide to pick on the ref some more. Like idiots. So the referee was, of course, Scott Armstrong. So when it was time to fire back, he threw the best punch in the show. He beat him up. Laurinaitis came out. Hunter had the pedigree. There was no ref. Punk at the GTS. There's still no ref. Truth got back in. Laurinaitis sent another text. Nash came through the crowd. Sledgehammer got involved. Or loud chants, or I don't even know who for. And finally, CM Punk was pedigreed and pinned. And so that was the lasting memory of the show. The biggest stars were, in fact, John Cena and Triple H.
Yeah.
In 2011.
Yep. Hey, and Mark Henry.
Yeah, well, but
let's be positive.
Mark Henry was third from the top.
That's true. But yeah. Listen, CM Punk was not going to win this match.
No, I know.
And if you're going to, as Paul Heyman said, if you're going to beat CM Punk, this was the way to do it. And I know you don't want to admit this, but it's true. When they were doing all of this bullshit there at the finish, and all of a sudden John Laurinaitis turns his back to the ring and he calmly starts texting, there was a huge buzz in the crowd because the John Laurinaitis texting gimmick is getting over.
When John Laurinaitis sends a text, something shit's about to go down.
Now, the one thing I will say is the Hunter thing was kind of, you know, obviously Hunter was not going to win, but when you really think about it, the biggest star of the entire summer was just beaten by a guy who's not even a wrestler.
Yeah.
This was his first match in 18 months, aside from the Undertaker match. So, yes, Hunter beats the rising star with his pedigree, and John Cena's the champion here at the end of 2011.
And the amazing thing is, I mean, when this ended, I was mildly annoyed that Hunter had won, but I thought, well...
See, I wasn't annoyed at all because I knew there was no other finish.
Well, my thinking was that they're doing Hell in a Cell in 2 weeks, and after all this confusion, they're going to do a rematch there with the Cell to stop people from interfering. Then when Hunter comes out the next night, and not only are they not wrestling, but now Punk is in the title match?
Yeah. Yes, Vinny, yes.
So,
don't think about this shit. It just makes you mad. It's like TNA now.
So everything you can say, you can say about how you could argue that Hunter didn't beat Punk clean, and certainly he did not. There was 47 men running in, and sledgehammers and chairs, and evil refs, and whatever you call John Laurinaitis, and all this stuff going on. So in the end, it didn't hurt Punk at all. To which I say, had Punk won, it would not have hurt Hunter at all. So who cares? So if he was going to main event for the title, why not have a win here? I don't understand anymore.
You shouldn't.
All right.
Because they made a COO stipulation that they didn't want to adhere to. And listen, it's probably going to play into the storyline. I'm not all that pissed off about this one yet. I know the storyline is already kind of convoluted, but this one I will wait on. The Alberto Del Rio one, there's absolutely no excuse for. Because there is no storyline. It's just that Alberto got beat clean by John Cena. And if he wins the belt back in 2 weeks, there's no storyline. He lost it, he won it back. And people they don't give a shit about the title or Alberto anymore. That one is infuriating. This one is just like, all right, it's part of the storyline. I see it out, pisses people off, but let's be real. It doesn't matter. And, maybe it matters to some people. I shouldn't say it doesn't matter. I'm sure it matters to some people. But this was the way it was going to be. And, you know, if you've been watching wrestling this long, you should have expected it. You know, I'm sorry if you were one of those people that thought that it was actually going to be something different. I mean, let's get real. You know? All right, let's play a song here, and then we'll do Raw. And then I got to get to bed because I got hot yoga in the morning. Yep, hot yoga, everybody.
Let me know how that goes.
I've been there several times.
You're a fan?
It's fucking hot.
You don't say.
Yeah, I am a fan. You want to know why?
Yes.
I'll tell you a little about hot yoga here. You go to a really fucking hot room and you do yoga. Essentially it. This room's 100 and...
You can stop. Once you hit 100, it's hot.
110.
Are you serious?
40% humidity. It is really fucking hot.
Okay, so... Wow.
Yeah. You gotta just drink water like crazy.
Yes.
I'm not sure of the health benefits or lack thereof of this hot yoga deal, but I'm doing it anyway. But suffice to say, you're warm when you do all these poses. So, you know, You get warm. You sweat like crazy. I will say that the people that are in this class, it's like 25 people in this class at like 9:30 in the morning. People in this class, they're all in like really good shape.
Mm.
So either only people in really good shape can survive and everybody else dies, or this gets you in really good shape. But the point is, you do a little yoga, you do some flexibility, and you build character.
Mm.
And you get tough, you know. You make it through an hour of hot yoga in a 110-degree room, not only doing yoga, but they make you do a little bit of like stomach and back conditioning there at the end. You make it through that hour, and you get out of that room, and you're like, God damn, shit in life ain't so hard anymore. You know? That is hard. Hmm. It is really fucking hard. So, anyway.
Because I've done yoga, and I'm a fan of yoga. I've not tried hot yoga.
I don't know, Vinny. I don't know if I'd recommend it to you.
Maybe a little outside of my fitness level.
I'd give it a try. It's not like you're working so hard that like your heart's beating really fast, but just having to hold a pose.
Oh, I know.
After 45 minutes of doing this, hold a pose and it's 110 degrees in the room and 40% humidity. You're just baked, and I mean you're just baked. You're just dripping sweat all over. I think one of the reasons that people like it is because they sweat a lot and they feel like they're doing hard work. And you sweat so much that you go into the locker room afterwards and it looks like you're ready to weigh in for UFC.
Right.
Because you've sweated out all this water.
Basically, yes.
But you have to hydrate yourself like crazy the night before, and you got to hydrate yourself like crazy in the morning. And when you're done, you got to hydrate yourself. I will say one other good thing about hot yoga for people thinking it's all bullshit. One benefit of this hot yoga is like, you know, if I'm going to do hot yoga on Monday, I can't spend all day Sunday, like, you know, drinking or eating a really shitty diet, you know, gorging on pizza and salty food and that sort of thing. I got to eat great all day Sunday, and I got to drink water all day, and I got to get myself super hydrated. Because if I don't, that's going to be a long ass hour in that hot yoga room. Then you come out and you drink a lot of water, and you're going to do it on Wednesday. I'm going to do it on Wednesday again. So I had to eat like great today. I had to eat. I couldn't eat anything bad. I had to watch my diet. I had to take care of myself. It keeps you in line. Because if you're not in line, you go in that hot yoga room, bad times. All right, here's our song.
I could kill a man for a Gatorade right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
No, no,
no, I don't want no
scrubs.
A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. I don't want no
scrubs.
A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me.
The scrubs of all scrubs. You know. You know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there you go. You know.
We.
You know. You know.
1, 2, 3.
Go.
Scrub.
Scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride. Trying to holler at me. Scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me.
You know. This is fucking stupid. You know.
5 minute Raw report. Go.
Punk limped out, said he had to admit that he may have been wrong. There was a conspiracy going on. He seemed to me to be being mostly booed by this crowd.
This crowd didn't like him.
Hunter came out. He was adored. So he said he was beat up too, but he had a job to do. Said Del Rio deserved a rematch. You also deserve a rematch. So we're just going to do a three-way at Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said that if CM Punk wanted to fight again, they could. Punk said, I don't want to fight. Somebody's fucking with both of us. He should have realized a long time ago Hunter was not involved in it. He said it was somebody higher on the ladder. About three guys in the crowd chanted, Shane O'Mac! And Punk just looked at them, and not into the mic, but right at them, he just said, no. Laurinaitis interrupted. He went back and forth for a while. He tried to fire Punk. Hunter said, no, you're not fired. And Punk said, yay! Hunter said, by the end of the night, somebody would be getting fired. And they played his music and he left. Inspector Hunter was on the case.
Yeah.
We had an 8-man tag with a bunch of Raw guys and a bunch of SmackDown guys. Doesn't matter who. Ross said WWF in here. And Christian avoided the Celtic Cross again. And Otunga got, ate the broad kick, and he ate the Celtic Cross from Sheamus, and Sheamus got the pin, so the good guys won. Hunter told a referee that when Miz and Truth arrived to send them into his office, Alberto was upset that his rematch was coming in a three-way. He had a good point. Hunter said, well, you can wrestle John Cena tonight and Del Rio like a proper heel back down. He said he was praying for the return of Vince. Hunter said, you're going to be in a cell match. You should be praying for safety. So Alberto versus John Morrison, Del Rio beat the fuck out of him and tapped him out in a minute.
Yeah.
There was nobody else for Alberto to destroy.
I thought Alberto said he needed a rest. Then he came out and he beat Morrison in a minute. Why didn't he take his title shot?
I don't know.
Why didn't he take a title shot on this show instead of having to do a three-way in a cage if he was so pissed off about that?
I don't know.
And by the way, for those of you wondering, I don't know what the story is with Melina. I know there's a story on the internet about some Melina insanity that allegedly occurred last night. I don't know if it's true. I asked somebody in WWE. They hadn't heard it. Although they did say there had to have been some reason that this happened to Morrison. But apparently, I don't know. At this point, I'm going to say, I'm gonna call shenanigans.
Don't say anything.
I'll call shenanigans. But I will let everyone know if I hear anything else in the next couple of days.
Wolverine came out. Hugh Jackman, I have seen this guy in many movies, but he's always playing Americans or Englishmen, so when he actually spoke with his own natural Australian accent, it caught me totally off guard. He plugged his wacky robot fighting movie. He actually looked like Justin Gabriel's dad. Out came Vicky and Dolph Ziggler. She wanted to have sex with him. Dolph was not down with his plan. He compared Mason Ryan to a robot. He was making other wrestling in-jokes that I don't think Jackman understood any of. Finally, Jackman said, I'll find an underdog who will beat you and humiliate you. There were the same crowd that was not into CM Punk erupted into massive chants of We Want Ryder. This was bizarro land.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Jackman totally understood what was going on, but he ran out and he grabbed a Ryder is greater than Wolverine sign, and he held this up and he went to the back. So I think it was supposed to be a secret what was going to happen, but the cat was out of the bag.
Are you going to see that robot movie?
This is the honest to God truth. Your friend Rich is over here.
I was just going to mention this, actually.
Because Rich is apparently looking greatly forward to it. This is the truth. If they just called it what it is, if it was simply called Rock'em Sock'em Robots the Movie, I would probably go see it. But it's not. It has a stupid other name.
I see these commercials and I'm like, who in God's name would ever go to this movie?
10-year-olds.
And our buddy Rich is over, and he's, you know, he's like 6'4", 279 pounds, and he's just a big kid, and he's so fucking excited for this movie. And it's like, well, people like Rich, they're the ones that, and he's a great guy, he's gonna go see this movie. This is your audience. These fellas like Rich. They're out there, everybody. People actually want to see this movie. I ain't one of them.
No.
No offense, Rich.
We had the real Sin Cara booked for to face the... Miz and Truth showed up. They appeared to be very remorseful. They met with Laurinaitis. He led them into Hunter's office. Real Sin Cara versus Cody Rhodes. That was the match that was booked. The fake Sin Cara immediately came out. The announcers were telling us how they looked identical and cannot be told apart. It's ridiculous. The crowd has figured it out which is which. The announcers still have to play dumb. A lucha fight broke out. Fake Sin Cara is no good. How can you be doing lucha for years and years and years and still get blown up like this? It's amazing to me.
Nerves.
I guess that's it. Yes, he was blown up by the end of this 30-second spot. So he took a head scissors and bailed, and that was that.
And Cody vanished.
Cody just had, yeah. Yes. Dismissed like he didn't matter. Miz and Truth went into Hunter's office. They offered what appeared to be a sincere apology. They said Hunter was not part of the conspiracy. They apologized. Truth called him Trips. which I think is the first time I've heard that on their show. He accepted their apology. He fined them $250,000 each. Because, you see, they're big stars making big money, and thus they're supposed to be fined a lot of money. On Impact, he would have docked them like $100. So, yes, he said their apology...
Or food stamps.
Yes. He accepted their apology, but also he fined them, and then he booked them in a match tonight against Punk and Cena. Jim Ross was in the ring. He announced Orton versus Henry at Hell in a Cell. The World Heavyweight Champion Mark Henry came out to not much of a reaction. Same crowd that had mild boos for CM Punk and loved Zack Ryder had no interest in Mark Henry. They were giving him the what treatment to death. He actually got flustered at one point, lost his train of thought, and had to slap his belt and say it did a talking for him. Said he had a... Said Ross was a naysayer like everyone else. Said he'd never been in a hell match, but he gave Orton hell last night and he'd do it again. Ain't no man gonna take what I got, he said. Said he would never forgive Ross or the people because they never believed in or supported him. Told Ross to apologize on behalf of the people. Said Ross had told Vince to fire him for being injury prone and useless. And Ross finally apologized, and Henry looked at him and said, I hate ass kissers. And he began to choke him. And Ross was pleading for mercy. Jerry Lawler could take no more. He ran into the ring. The crowd loved Jerry. And Henry let Ross go, but then let Lawler know that you're going to have to take his place. And so Lawler realized, I may as well go down fighting. He threw one great Lawler punch. Henry destroyed him. And they went outside, and I really didn't want to watch this knowing where it was going. And it didn't look any different than any other table spot they've done, but of course it was. And Jerry Lawler was apparently hurt rather badly. And that sucks, but, you know, this is another great Mark Henry segment with the obvious exception of somebody got hurt.
It was actually designed to do a spoof of the Mayweather thing, believe it or not.
For picking a fight with the announcer?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I can see that. The problem is that I don't watch a lot of boxing, but apparently that particular announcer has a reputation with everyone for being incompetent. If Mark Henry had done this with Michael Cole... That would have made more sense.
Well, sure.
And there's still time for that, by the way. Kelly and Eve wrestled Beth and Natalya. Eve pinned Natalya with a roll-up.
Mm-hmm.
They call the Divas of Doom. The two biggest, scariest women on the roster, and they've teamed up to be an unstoppable unit, and all they do is lose.
Maybe they can do a tournament. They can end up with minus 10 points.
That's next on the docket. That's the only explanation I have. Yeah, this is not how you book the female Legion of Doom. Hugh met with Zach. Said he was pathetic, and that made him perfect as the underdog to go beat Dolph Ziggler.
Couldn't they call Kofi and his buddy, the other little guy, Evan, the Legion of Boom?
Much better. A much better name than Air Boom.
Hmm.
Well done. Proud of you. So we had Zack Ryder versus Dolph Ziggler. Hugh Jackman coming out in a broski headband is money. They only had like a 3-minute match. And maybe it just took me this long to notice. I don't know if he's been like this and I only noticed on this random short match. But Dolph Ziggler looked awesome in this match. Just fucking great. Cole was on commentary. He talked about Ryder's YouTube videos. Said he had not watched them. He had no interest. Then he said... People who sit at home looking at videos on the internet are goofs. As opposed to people who sit at home looking at wrestling on their TV. I guess they're not goofs.
Mm.
So Vicky slapped Zach. She was caught and ejected. As the referee was dealing with that, Hugh Jackman jumped up on the apron. He hit a better punch than 90% of the crew. And Dolph sold this punch, spun around, and immediately ate a Rough Rider for the pin. This is a great television segment.
Dolph claimed he cracked his jaw.
Hugh?
Yeah.
That's actually quite believable.
If you watched that punch, I could believe it.
Yeah, it looked great, and maybe that's why. Maybe he just really hit him.
Yeah.
And that's entirely possible.
Hugh Jackman was the best guest host they've ever had.
That's...
If he were not Hugh Jackman, if he were just a guy, I'd sign him to $250,000 a year.
He's pretty great. If you've not seen any of his stuff, he's... Very great and very multi-talented. We had a Jack Swagger hype video, and I don't know why. So I've so given up on anything happening with him. And in this hype video, I was reminded, and I keep forgetting this, he's a former world champion.
Oh, yeah. Had a long reign.
A few months.
Mm-hmm.
This era, that is a long reign. So, yes, I remembered when he was world champion and how badly that sucked. So, Swagger walked up and he told Vicky this video was more impressive than anything Dolph had done tonight. A lie. A flat-out lie. He also told her that he could help her meet Hugh Jackman. She invited him to join her stable. He was happy, and they passed Dolph Ziggler, who was sad. Punk and Cena had a... mostly Cena. Horrendous meeting. See, Punk was stretching, and Cena came in and gave this monologue about creating controversy and earning respect. And he talked and talked and talked and talked, saying...
What is all that noise out there?
I don't hear anything.
Someone breaking into my house?
Finish up. He talked and talked and talked and talked. It was all completely wooden and phony and cheesy and unnatural and forced. A terrible promo this was. We had a Hell in a Cell highlight video of all the carnage and destruction that had gone by over the years. And serious question here that actually is too bad Brian left the room. Does Mick Foley get payments every time they show him falling off this cage? Because they have used that thousands of times over the years to sell these pay-per-views, and, well, it's his body. So, hopefully he gets a check when that happens. Then we have the main event. Awesome Truth versus CM Punk and John Cena. They were having this match. Miz complained about the referee's slow count at one point, but before he could do anything, Truth got in his way and stopped him from hitting the ref. Match continued. CM Punk got the hot tag. Made a big babyface comeback, looked really good, and finally he kicked Miz into Truth, hit the GTS on the Miz, and won. So he and Cena are having their celebration, and Miz and Truth are out on the floor, and Hunter walks out, and he says, Punk, good match! And he says, Truth, Miz, you're fired.
Mm-hmm.
He walked backstage, and that was all he had to say. He cut backstage where a crew of complete geeks acted very badly, like they were stunned. Hunter walked backstage. Another geek tried to interview him. Miz and Truth attacked. They were overwhelmed by the geek sitting there. They were kicked out of the building, thrown out into the street. Hunter was still pissed off. He told everyone to get out of his way, and he walked off, and the show ended. So, yes, clearly there are many different factions within Raw, and we are going to find out who's... Are you filming me?
Continue.
All right. We're going to find out who is actually conspiring to screw who at some point.
Who do you think it is, Vinny?
Who do I think is...
Who is responsible for this screwing?
Vince.
Vince McMahon?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Why are you holding your phone up?
I left this room to see who broke into the house. It was my wife. And, I'm not blaming you or anything. I don't necessarily want you to even change it, because God knows, we don't, but you are unbelievably loud.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious, because you've got a mic 2 inches from your face. I've got a compressor here that actually has to control your vocalization, so that you don't blow everybody's ear out. But you are literally shouting into the mic as if you are an 80-year-old man trying to talk to someone at the other end of a football field. It's astonishing. So I wanted to film it so that you could see how loud you were.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. How do you think you are?
I'm very quiet.
No, you're not.
I am.
I'm here working all the time downstairs, and I can hear you. I'm probably louder.
I was going to say, come on now. You're much more of a boomer.
Well, I'll try to stop that then.
Please don't.
All right.
All we need is you being so quiet that people are yelling that they can't hear you. All right, it is time for shout-outs. We do these every 3 weeks now. We do these on the free shows. So if you send in a shout-out and you haven't heard it yet, that's because we're only doing a free show every 3 weeks. You don't want me to read your shout-out on a paid show. You want your shout-out on a free show so the most people can hear it. You get a shout-out when you sign up for the website. And, of course, the website's awesome. As noted, you only get a Brian and Vinny show every 3 weeks now. You only get a Figure Four Daily every 3 weeks. You only get a Wrestling Observer Radio every 3 weeks. If you sign up, you get a show every single day. Brian and Vinny Show twice a week, Figure Four Daily three times a week, Wrestling Observer Radio, sometimes as many as five times a week. We interview people. Jim Cornette's on the show this coming Thursday. Lance Storm is on the show this coming Thursday as well. Tons and tons of huge names have been on this program. Chris Masters was just on last week, in fact. You can listen to it for free. Scroll down the right-hand side of the page. Anyway, you know what this show's like. If you want a show every single day, sign up now. It's $10.99. I can't even say one show every single day. I've done days where I've done four shows in one day. Four! Me alone! Got 15 to 20 radio shows every single week between all of our hosts. If you sign up, you not only get all of the brand new shows, but you get every show we've ever done. So if you sign up today, it's like you signed up in 2005. Because every show we have done since 2005 is available in our archives, which are searchable. You can type in Ric Flair and click radio shows, and you can find the radio show that we did interviewing Ric Flair, of all people. And you'll listen to it. Just download it. All these shows are available with your subscription. There's no extra cost for all of these archives. It's all included in your subscription. Thousands and thousands. We have over 3,000 shows available in our archives right now. 3,000 shows. That's no joke. So sign up. Check it out. Said this a million times. If you like this free show, if you like all the stuff you're listening to for free, you will love your subscription. You will love it. I guarantee you will love it. And if you don't, you can email me and we'll make it right. But trust me, everybody. Just trust me. If you like this show of all shows, you'll love your subscription. So if you sign up, not only do you get all those things, plus the Wrestling Observer newsletter and Figure Four Weekly. Observer's been published since 83. The Figure Four since 1995. We've done issues every single week since that time. I have not missed a week in 848 weeks. I have published a newsletter every single week for 848 weeks. And many of them are available online. We have observers dating back to 1991, 1992, 1993. We're in 1994 at this point. Go back and read them. That's included in your subscription as well. And on top of all that, you get a free shout out. So let me read some of these, and I'll tell you what you can get. Daniel here. Time to cash in my shout-out with what happened to me today. I live in the middle of nowhere in England. I love wrestling, but never got to see it live. My girlfriend knows this, and on my birthday, she bought me a plane ticket to the Americas and some rather expensive tickets. I'm over the moon! My girlfriend is awesome, I think. I wonder, what show is it? These tickets are quite expensive. I manage the bills so I know how much it cost. I'm thinking Mania, or at least front row at a decent event. She then, with the glee of someone who knows nothing about wrestling, tells me it is for TNA's Coastal Chaos Cruise.
Oh my god.
I didn't even know what she was on about. Needless to say, I'm trying to refund both the plane and cruise tickets with currently little success. Thanks for the shows, disgruntled person.
She meant well.
She did mean well, homie.
You'll get to go on a boat.
I'd go. No, I wouldn't.
Can you use a plane ticket and just not go on the boat?
Don't know if it just works out like that.
I don't know how it works either.
All right, Carlos. Sup, folks? My name is Carlos CD Cent De La Rosa, and I will invite everyone in the New York area to join United Wrestling Fans of New York, which is basically a group of wrestling fans in the New York area who meet up for pay-per-view parties and go to events in our area like Survivor Series in November.
So let me get this straight. United Wrestling Fans of New York is a group of wrestling fans in New York?
Who are united.
Hmm.
That's right.
Intriguing.
You can join up at www.meetup.com/UWFNYC. That's easy to remember. Meetup.com/UWFNYC. And you can find us on Facebook. Just search for United Wrestling Fans of New York. There you go. That's from Carlos. Sounds like a fun group. We need to get one of those for around here. Fortunately, it's Washington. We don't have any wrestling fans around here.
And if they did, they'd hang out with us, and they don't want to do that.
All right. This fella here says, Brian, it's Boydy from the board. I'd like to give the following shout-out. I'd like to say hi and thanks to Court Type, Diabol, Yamo version 1, and Andy 500. I'd like to say fuck you to Neil and Tiger Rick from the UK FF board and T. Glancy from the F4W board. Keep bringing out great shows, Brian and Vinny. You cheer me up for my boring and depressing days. I wish that Dave would stop interrupting Brian. I find it very annoying, and sometimes it tempts me to turn it off. So stop doing it, Dave, please. All the best and thank you. I don't think Dave's going to hear that message.
No. No, he won't.
But thank you, Richard.
He will continue to be Dave.
Alrighty, this person here has a procreation shout-out. We, in fact, offer a free shout-out to anybody who manages to create a progeny.
To spawn.
If the procreation shout-out is still offered, here is mine. The Mance here, cashing in my procreation shout-out to welcome my daughter, Eleanor Rose Chappelle, to the world. She screeches at the first sight of anything wrestling-related, so I must be raising her right. With a new baby and job, as well as a general distaste for Kevin Nash, my wrestling viewing has fallen to almost none, but the radio shows have kept me informed to all. A shout-out to Mark Henry! If he wins the championship on Sunday, I will begin watching SmackDown again. Well, there you go. A shout-out to Granny, the only part of the Empire my wife enjoys. Finally, I want to plug my pre-teen novel, Estelle and the Time King, which will soon be made available on the Kindle and the Nook. Keep up the good work. That is from The Mance. Estelle and the Time King.
You going to read it?
Well, it's not available yet.
You're also not a preteen.
I'm not a preteen. At least, let's move on. Brian and Vinny. It's been my first shout-out in a while. Since I heard about it in the last free show, I'm cashing this shout-out in because on September 3rd, 2011, I married the woman of my dreams.
Aww.
After 8 years of total commitment to each other, all the struggles it takes, from the original reception hall taking $1,000 of our deposit money and running, and completing this wedding for under $7,000 in 6 months, my wife Angie and I made it official in front of friends, family, and a few members of the Empire. I could truly say it was the greatest day in my entire life, and I have never been happier ever. Hopefully we can make it to the convention this year, since we're not saving for a wedding, and enjoy the greatness that is Vegas with all of you. Angie and I love you, and I cannot wait to grow old with you. Oh, Angie, I love you, and I can't wait to grow old with you.
Did you get her name wrong?
I thought you guys were talking to me. I was my heart. Yes, he said that to Angie. He loves her, and he cannot wait to grow old with her. I love my wife, but I can wait to grow old with her.
Just no hurry, everyone.
Quite frankly.
I've spent a lot of time with old people. It seems to suck.
Rest of this shout-out is for the great colleagues and fellow workers in the Northeast Pennsylvania independent wrestling scene, and a few board people. Shout-outs go to first and foremost the guy who I suggested this website to, Joey Image, and his website, pw247radio.com. Also, Mike the Cannon Collis, CZW's soon-to-breakout star, AJ Evers, Coach Leroy Clarence Skull, Ricky David, my trainer, Matt Durlian, Bruno DeMaio and Matt Turner, Serious Business Andy Header, Ryan Zero, Johnny Toxic, Michael Gary Vaughn, the entire Binghamton DOS crew, Cage, Sean Carr, Big Papa Chill, Mark Krieger, Steve, and IB fucking Green. Thanks to the last year and a half, and more to come. And two more quick ones to the illustrious Sean McGee, who couldn't attend my wedding but was there in spirit, and Mike Coughlin for still having the best show on the site.
What?
That's from Chris Decker, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. A fine man. A fine man. I actually want to send a shout-out to, I guess it would be my grandmother-in-law, Whitney's grandmother, who broke her hip.
Oh, that's no good.
No, it's not. She's, I think, 82 years old. She's not in as good a shape as Granny, and they were very worried about the broken hip, and she had to undergo surgery this morning at 6 a.m., and there was, of course, concern, a lot of concern, actually. But she got through it just fine. She's all morphined up, I believe. And she's pretty happy, although quite confused. So best wishes to her. Hope she ends up all right. It's going to be a rough road. But she's a tough old granny. So I think she's going to make it through. So best wishes to her. All right. This is from, let's see. Who do we have here? Jack?
Swagger?
Nope, that's not a shout-out. We got one more here. This is from Ed. What's up, Chico, Vinny, and the Empire? As some of you know, I went through a very tough couple of weeks with the passing of my dad a week after having heart surgery. I took it very hard, and the only thing that kept me from losing my cool is all the well wishes I received. So I just want to take the time to thank everyone who commented on my Facebook posts about my dad. Thanks to everyone who wrote well wishes on my wall, sent me IMs, messages, PMs on the board, the boarders who commented in the thread and the MPI and who sent me emails, texts, and called. You guys have no idea how much you helped me these last 2 weeks. And a really big thank you to you, Brian, for talking about it on Observer Live. I almost don't want to troll you anymore. Almost. And a super big shout out to my best friend in the world, my partner in crime, for being there for me, giving me a shoulder to cry on, and did her best to keep my mind off things. Not sure I could have handled things without you by my side, Barb. And once again, thank you, everyone. Life is easier when an empire has your back.
Aww.
And of course, he adds, P.S. everyone, check out off the Over the Top Rope Radio. With Bill Apter, over the
check it out after
over something. The top radio with Bill Apter, it was a dream come true to talk to him. And the three of us agree it was our best show ever. And of course, they're on Blog Talk Radio. Him and Katrair and Craig. So best wishes to Ed. Glad you made it through that. I know that's not easy. And actually, while we're giving shout outs here. To various people, I want to make sure I give a big shout out to Doc Young. For those of you that have not read the story that Missy put on the front page and haven't read the update on Doc, Doc Young is the host of Wrestling Weekly, and he also is the producer for Figure Four Daily. And over the last 2 years, a lot of the biggest guests that we have had on the show, and we've had some big fucking guests on Figure Four Daily the last couple of years. Doc Young is the guy to thank. He has lined up some amazing guests. He works very hard. For those of you that have ever done a radio show, and for those of you that have not, this job sucks, setting up guests for a radio show. It fucking sucks. It's very hard to set them up. People pull out. You got to get things arranged for certain times. Certain people can't do certain times. You got to try and change things. It's a very unforgiving job. It's a thankless job. I try to thank Doc Young a lot, but quite frankly, it's just a thankless job. And it was very, very hard for me. I tried to have my wife do it, and she actually got produced a Barbara Beefcake on the show. But he was such an ass that I didn't want her to have to do it anymore. And Doc Young, he'd done Wrestling Weekly, and he got great guests. And I said, Doc, help me out here, brother. And he's helped me out, and he's set this up for the last 2 years and done an awesome job with Wrestling Weekly, both before they were on the site and now that they are on the site, him and Les Thatcher and Will. And anyway, Doc's been having some serious health issues. And I wrote about him on the website, and he is still in the hospital.
Oh.
And it's looking like he's going to be in the hospital for a long, long time.
What bullshit?
Yeah. This is going to be a long battle. He's been in the hospital for a long time. He's been having health issues on and off for years. It's one of those things where some days the doctors are like, okay, this is what it is. Some days the doctors are like, we don't know what it is. You know, he's just... It's been real tough, and, you know, he's still able to communicate here on the computer, but he's having a lot of other issues, and, you know, one thing about Doc is he's had more health issues than, like, 99.9% of the people that have ever subscribed to this website, he's just wrote me an email tonight, and, I mean, he's in really bad shape, but he's joking around in this email, and he never complains about it. He's a real tough guy, and he's just hanging on, and hopefully he beats this. And again, they don't really know what it is, but one of the things that they think it is, I mean, this can be like a 3-year battle, but in the end, he can end up okay. So we're all sending out our best wishes. If you want to send an email to Doc Young, he's at docyoung999@hotmail.com. That's docyoung999@hotmail.com. If you get a chance, drop him a line. He's a great guy. He's worked really hard on the website. And at some point, we're going to do some sort of fundraiser for him. Obviously, the cost of this is just ridiculous. So I don't know how we're going to do it. Maybe set up a PayPal or something like that. But I want everyone, if they can, you know, I don't expect anybody to do anything. But if you'd like to, We're going to set up something to help try to help Doc out because he's having a real rough time, but he's sticking in there. He's hanging in there. And I have faith that he's going to end up okay. And hopefully everybody else can send some best wishes his way. I don't expect anybody to send anybody else money or anything like that. But if nothing else, you know, here's the email. DocYoung999@hotmail.com. There's not even anywhere to send money to anyway. So just send him a good, just send him a hello. You know, send him some nice words. Tell him a joke. You know, he'd appreciate anything. So it'd be a nice thing to do, and hopefully he makes it through. So anyway, those are the shout-outs for today. Best of luck to Doc. Obviously, I want to thank everybody for listening. We've gone a long-ass time here on this free show, so hope you enjoy it. We'll be back tomorrow with more, so check it out, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.